The first thing I want to say is Jeregen Jeff, Sumako Defasir Degui, which is thanks, y'all. My heart is cold. And you might think, well, that's an odd thing to say. Your heart is cold. No, when you live in a hot climate, cold is good. So that is a Wolof phrase that means my heart is happy. And I thank all of you for the warm welcome, both outside sort of and inside, and particularly for all of the children who participated. I appreciate that so much. I always enjoy coming here to Black Creek because, for one thing, I walk in the door and it feels like I've come home. And I love your singing. I love being in a church where everybody sings and sings loud. And that's just a pleasure. When you worship in a place where sometimes you have two people, and the good day you may have, 7, 8. You know, if we have a lot of visiting missionaries, maybe we might have 10, 15 people. It's an overwhelming thing to come home and sing with a larger group of believers, even though this is not a large group. In my world, it's large. And that you all sing at the top of your lungs. And that's how I sing all the time. And in the Gambia, that's how we sing too. So whether there are two of us or five of us or 10 of us, we're pretty loud for the number of people that we have. But I appreciate this congregation, and I can always count on you guys singing loud in praise to our God. So as Pastor said, I have been in the Gambia 25 years, and this is not the presentation that I normally give in churches, but it's one that God impressed on my heart. I gave part of it last week at my Sunday church in the Sunday school hour, but God just impressed me that this is the presentation that to use here. And when I heard Pastor Haynes' Sunday school lesson, I said, okay. So if you were here in Sunday school, here's your follow-up. If I can get the thing to work. As you look at what has happened over the last few years, of course, I was watching from the Gambia as things were blowing up around the world, and that wasn't as much of a concern to me as how I saw Christians reacting. That I saw people reacting in fear, that their lives were being taken over by fear. And God says so many times in the scripture, fear not. Amen. And I'm not saying that's easy. But just because it isn't easy doesn't mean that God didn't mean it when he said it. Amen. In Deuteronomy, it says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, do not be dismayed." And as we look around and when we live our lives, there are so many things that we can be fearful about. And everybody, no matter who you are, we all have the same temptations toward fear. And they fall, our fears fall in different categories, and different people have a tendency to fear in different areas. Some people have a fear in the area of finances. And I can see how that can be a fearful thing. But I was privileged to grow up in a ministry household where I was taught from the time I was tiny that God provided for our needs and that there was nothing to worry about. And I've seen that happen over and over again, that God provides. So yes, when I look at the monthly support that I still need in order to return to the Gambia in November, it can be a fearful thing. My deficit is about $870. It's a little smaller now because of your gift. And a couple of other individuals have also, they are also going to be starting support. I'm not sure how much that's going to be. So maybe in the area of $800 a month deficit. It looks big, but it's nothing to God.
That's right.
In Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." If God's going to supply my need according to his riches, why am I worried about a few bucks? God will take care of that, and he will do it in his time. My goal is to return to the Gambia in November. I'm not sure what if that's God's plan or not. And it's okay, whatever way it goes. But, and as Pastor Hain was talking about trials in Sunday school this morning, trials come. Some trials are just part of life. Some trials are bigger, some trials are smaller. Everybody has them. But it's a matter of what are you going to do with them? And what are you going to allow God to do with them? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know that thing we all want, but we don't want to do what it's going to take to get there? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need wisdom every day. In the Gambia, we definitely need wisdom every day. Because we are constantly coping with things that are outside of the circumstances that we were raised in. We're handling things in a different culture. And so many times the way that we want to respond to something is the exact opposite of the way that we probably should respond to it in the culture. So every day we run into situations where we say, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. And that's even with me having been there 25 years. And the other missionaries who have not been there nearly that long all come to me going, hey, Joanne, what do you think about this, this, and this? What should we do? I don't know. I think we need to pray about this and figure it out. So one of the trials that God has put into my life is the chronic fatigue. It just is. It's there. I deal with it. But you know what? God gives me the strength when I need it. And he also gives me the rest when I need it. If he did not do that, I would not still be in the Gambia. Of course, COVID has been a big thing the last couple of years. Sitting in the Gambia, you know, listening to the news reports, as our airport closed and we had no idea when it was going to reopen, we had to decide, what are we doing? Are we leaving? Are we staying? And we all said, we're staying. We don't know what this is going to turn into. And living in a country without great health care, we don't know what it will look like if we get sick or if people around us get sick. But we're going to stay. In a country where there may be two or three respirators in the entire country, we said, we're going to stay. If we get sick, we get sick. God's in control of this. We aren't. It doesn't sound like anybody anywhere in the world is. So we're just going to stick it out. And God blessed. None of the missionaries got COVID.
Amen.
I do not know any Gambian that I know personally that got COVID. God protected us. And while some things were closed down, we tried to do things that would be a little safer for everybody, but in a way that did not shut down our ministries, that did not prevent us from being with people, talking with people. Because they were afraid too. And they don't know Jesus. So they don't have the confidence that we had that God was going to take care of them. So we needed to be available to them. Then last summer, something odd happened in the Gambia. It's not odd for here, but it is odd for there. I don't know that there's ever been a tornado, but a tornado hit our village and hit it hard. That picture, that's what used to be our cell phone tower. The tornado just twisted it, crumpled it, and it did the same thing with most of the corrugate metal roofs on homes all throughout the village. It was just like those metal roofs were made of tin foil. And the tornado just took it and crumpled that and threw it. And so, but even in the midst of that, our compound, yeah, we had some damage, but we didn't lose any roofs.
Amen.
The literacy center compound did. We lost the roof off of our storage buildings and off of the nursery school that wasn't being used for anything. But the actual office building with all of our equipment and things like that did not lose a roof. A solar panel blew off the roof, but the roof did not go. So God protected again. And then of course, we are doing ministry right now with very few missionaries. There was a period of some months when two of us were running everything in the entire country. So we were running the health center, the literacy center, the guest house on the opposite side of the river, doing the government work. Everything. And there were two of us doing it. But again, God provided Gambians that we could call on to help in different situations. God provided, he put in place years ago staff, employees of ours that really stepped up and took responsibility in areas that they've never had to take responsibility. Because they knew that there were just two of us. And we were doing everything that we could do. So in all of those things, are they trials? Are they hard? Yeah. But is God faithful? Definitely. Oops. And some of us fear change. Change is not easy sometimes. Sometimes change is for good. Sometimes change seems like it's not for good. But change is always a little hard because, you know, we're human. We like to get in our ruts. We like to do things the way that they've always been done. And sometimes God goes, no. And stirs things up a little so that we have to depend on him more.
Yeah, amen.
So we had one of our missionaries, one of our younger missionaries actually, she suddenly had to resign for health reasons. And so that was a shock, because she was somebody that ideally would have perhaps served on the field another 20 years. Teresa, one of our older missionaries, had a very sudden medical emergency and had to be medically airlifted to Spain to have emergency heart surgery. Now, Teresa was looking to retire in a couple of years, but I talked to her the other day and she says, I'm not ready to retire. But her health made it so that it would be very difficult for her to be in the Gambia because of the lack of adequate health care. And then, of course, we have new missionaries, which is a good thing, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Mm. New missionaries come with a whole set of challenges because they don't really know much about doing ministry in the Gambia, but they don't realize they don't know much of anything about doing ministry in the Gambia. And some are just determined to learn things the hard way, which it makes it hard on the rest of us because we're trying to manage their mistakes so that things don't get blown up by big mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has cultural missteps. It happens. But you want to try to manage those so as not to blow up relationships and blow up opportunities that other missionaries have spent years building.
Yeah.
But again, God says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take care of itself. Shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we take things day by day, step by step, and we don't fret about things being different, because different doesn't mean bad. Different is just different. But many people fear the future. And sometimes it's because of what things they know are coming, and sometimes it's just because they don't know what's coming. And some of the things that we're looking at coming could be a little fearful. It could be a little worrying. At the end of this calendar year, our medical clinic will be closing. Because with Sarah's resignation and Teresa's medical retirement, we're down to one medical missionary in the Gambia. One medical missionary cannot sustain the clinic for the long haul. If we had somebody that in the pipeline that we knew was coming, she could do it for a while. But it's not sustainable when you don't have anything that you're looking for, and you know that anybody that, you know, signed up now to be a medical missionary in the Gambia, it could be 3 to 5 years before they would get there. So God has directed, and it seems like it's time to close the clinic. The medical missionary, Allison, will stay in the Gambia. She will stay in Nungukebe. And she will switch over to doing CHE, which is community health evangelism. And she will come under my literacy umbrella and be working with me through the literacy office, but doing a kind of a different program. It's a great program. I was trained in it years ago. Basically, for gathering groups of people to teach them different things about their health, about different things, but incorporating the teaching of Scripture in those community health teachings. So I think it's a great thing, but it's different. It's going to be a little challenging, but praise God, the village and the government have responded well to the news that we will be closing at the end of the year. And of course, we have missionaries that have been in the village for the last few months to a year working on learning Wolof, and they are moving into the city, which was the plan all along. And so we're excited to see what God is going to do with opening different avenues of ministry in the urban area through the One Family and One Single that will be there. They have some interesting ideas, so it will be fun to see what God does through those missionary units. When I go back, like I said, hopefully in November, Allison will be leaving. When the clinic closes, she will get out of town the day that it closes. And she will come back here to the States for a few months just to kind of give a hard break between the clinic closing and her coming back in a different ministry. So there is the potential that when I go back, very soon after I go back, I will be in the village alone, that I will be the only missionary in the village. But I won't be alone. And it's not just that God will be with me. Gambians hate being alone. And so when a missionary is alone, they make sure that we're not alone very much. So, and I'm always somebody, I have Gambians that visit me all the time. If my house is empty, when the compound is open to visitors, that's a rare thing. So I'm not too worried about that. But it will be challenging because the workload will be all on me with assistance from the missionaries that are now in the city. And some people fear failure. As a Christian, our goal is not success the way the world sees success. Our goal is not fame or money or any of those things. If as a believer you've been faithful to what God has called you to do, that's success. Because we've all been called to share the gospel. But in 1 Corinthians it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We're just the farmers that are throwing seed and putting water out. God's the one that brings the harvest. And in John, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So in looking at success or failure, well, let's see what God has done. The woman in the picture with me is Jetu. She's my housekeeper. She's been a believer for about 12 years now.
Man.
This is Jojo. I may have mentioned Jojo my last time here. Jojo is a young lady. She's in college now, almost finished. She's actually Jetu's niece. And Jojo started coming to visit me when she was in probably eighth grade. I mean, I'd known her since she was tiny, but she started coming to my house pretty regularly when she was in about eighth grade. And she'd just come talk about school stuff. And she went away to high school, and every time she was back visiting, she would show up at my house on Saturday morning just to chat. Well, I keep books around my living room with Bible story pictures to just kind of stir up conversation when I have the opportunity. Well, Jojo started looking at pictures and trying to read the Woolof, and, you know, so we started talking about the Bible stories, and after a few years of talking with me and with the other missionaries, Jojo decided that following Jesus was really the only thing that made sense. And when Jojo went off to college, God provided 3 Christian roommates for her. In a country that is 89% Muslim, mm-hmm. Do you realize what a miracle that is?
Yeah.
This is Mom Babu. I know I mentioned Mom Babu when I was here last time. Mom Babu is a seeker of truth. He loves to talk. And he loves to debate. He's a thinker. But Mom Babu's father was an Islamic teacher. And so he has been well indoctrinated into the teachings of Islam. But, like I said, Mom Babu is a thinker and a debater. I've debated with him for years. Before I came home on my last furlough, one of our recent debates had been whether Jesus died on the cross or not, and whether how the Bible and the Quran could both be true. Obviously, they're not, but he was convinced that they could be true. And I'm like, there are places where they say completely opposite things. How can they both be true? So when I went back this time, I hadn't been home very long, been back in the Gambia very long. And he comes in, he sits down in my office, which is where he's sitting in that first picture. And he says, "You know, I'm one of you now." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, you know how I used to come and ask you to pray for me in Jesus' name?" I said, "Yeah," because he did all the time. He said, "Well, I saw that when I asked you guys to pray for me in Jesus' name, God answered."
Amen.
He says, "So I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm still saying, okay, wait a minute, okay, what does that mean? Because Muslims hold Jesus in very high esteem. But they don't believe he's God and they don't believe he died on the cross. So I had to just probe a little farther. I said, "So you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again?" "Yes." "You believe that it is only by the blood of Jesus that we can have forgiveness of sins?" "Yes."
"Amen."
Says, I am with you now.
I love it. Amen.
And Mom Babu, every time he would come to work, he works for me, but he would come to work early so he could sit in my office and we could talk about spiritual things. And for a while, he even came to the missionary church service, which is in English. But he would come, and I would interpret for him. And he would pray with us, and he would fully participate with us. But then, you know, Satan has to, you know, cause confusion. And so the word, some spies started spreading around the fact that he was coming to church. And so he was kind of scared away from coming. And not because he would be injured, but just the loss of social standing, friends giving him trouble. But he would still come and talk to me. And we would talk about spiritual things. And for a while there, he started spouting the Islamic stuff at me. And I would just keep going back to the scripture and countering everything that he said. And finally, he looked at me and he says, Ajisun Dengodof. Well, Ajisun is my name. And Dengodof means you're crazy. Okay. I said, I just looked at him and I said, I'm not crazy. I just believe what the Bible says. And after that, he became more intentional. He would come to my office, or when the office was closed during COVID, he would show up on my front porch. And he'd say, do you have time to teach me today? Now, I have to handle that carefully. As a single woman teaching a man, I have to be careful, but I am not going to turn away somebody who is so hungry to hear God's word. So I started just taking my Woolf Bible, and I started in the book of Acts, because he has Woolf teachings that he listens to on his phone that will take him through the ascension, from Genesis through the ascension. So I started in Acts, and I started just reading a chapter to him. He doesn't read in Roman script. He can read in Arabic script, which I'm not sure how anybody does that, but so I would read to him, and then we would just talk simply about what the scriptures were saying. And his spiritual understanding is there. As I would be tying things together, he would be there before I said it. His understanding of the scripture, when it is read to him without a lot of explanation, it's encouraging in a sense, because we know that the Holy Spirit gives understanding of the scripture. Mm-hmm. And so it's encouraging that even though he has wavered, it's encouraging to think that he truly is a believer, but he gets confused. He's been taught lies for 50 years. It's hard to overcome those lies when everyone around you believes the same lie. So when I see God bringing fruit, there's no way to call that failure, even if it's only a few people.
Amen.
Mom Connie has been a believer for over 20 years. For the last 10 years, she's been teaching ladies in her own home. Mom Connie is not educated. She's not a natural leader. She's not naturally someone who speaks up. When I first met her and she was trying to give her testimony to a group of people, she couldn't talk loud enough for people to hear her. I had to sit next to her and put my ear practically up to her mouth so that I could hear, and I could hardly hear what she was saying, so that I could then repeat what she had said so people could hear her. But now she is teaching ladies in her home.
Amen.
She uses the the Wolof Bible teachings that are on the memory cards that they play in their phones. She plays them for people and then discusses things with them.
Good.
She did one group, and she thinks that several of the people from that group are believers. And then a new group approached her a couple of years ago and said, "We know you used to teach," and she named, and they named the ladies that were in the first group. "Could you teach us now?" And so she started over with a whole group, new group of ladies. And she thinks that some of them are close to trusting Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? The missionaries do almost nothing. This is something that God is doing in and through Mom Connie.
Amen.
All we do is encourage her, pray for her, make sure she has the memory cards to use with people, and we let God go.
Yeah, he can do it.
And he can do it. And that way, our presence doesn't bring tribulation on those who are trying to study. Our presence would draw attention, whereas she can do it very naturally. So when we see things like that happening, we know that God is at work, and we have no idea how many believers from the Gambia we will find in heaven that we'll be shocked to see there.
Yeah.
Because of what God has done.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your part in what God is doing in the Gambia.
Amen. I'm going to turn the lights on. Here's what I want to do. Tompkins, if we could get you to sit right here.